Welcome to the Honor It All podcast. I'm Honor Garrett, your host, and we are here to honor all that is good in the world. Each podcast, I interview top professionals from around the world who are making a difference, impacting lives, and creating positive change. Today, I'm so excited for our guest, Danielle Fournier. She is known to many as the modern shaman, helping people just like you activate and accelerate your manifesting ability by trusting your intuition and breaking down common beliefs holding you back. She has an incredible gift to see things in you that you didn't even know were there. Danielle helps you activate the power you already hold inside with transformational coaching programs, readings, workshops, and retreats. But what I love most about Danielle is her gentle spirit, yet fiery personality. She is so interesting and an absolute joy in her presence. So Danielle, I'm so excited to have you here today on the Honor It All podcast. Welcome. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction. I'm incredibly touched. Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
It's such a treat because I met Danielle, I think we were in a coaching mastermind together a few years ago, and her energy, she was new to the group, and her energy instantly lit up this group. And I was like, wow, I need to get to know her. So Danielle, let's get personal. Just a couple questions to for our audience to get to know you. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
So I had an amazing, amazing childhood. I live in the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest in the US. I live in Oregon right now. I was very lucky. My parents split up and they remarried. They were great friends the whole time, but my mom moved to Oregon and my dad lived in Seattle on the San Juans and plus a whole bunch of time in Hawaii. So I grew up in between a ranch and water. So in the desert where I live now with beautiful mountains and the trees, and it's just so, it's just so light and beautiful, but also growing up with those 80-foot trees, the dark water, and in Hawaii, like, just gave me this sense of beauty and connection to the world that I've never really lost. I was one of those kids. I'm really lucky to have grown up in the wild, really, where we lived right next to hundreds, thousands, really, acres of BLM where we could ride horses barefoot across the land. I grew up in water. I don't remember really, this is a very different day and age, but we, you know, you would go in and I learned to swim in the Pacific Ocean, right? In big waves that were overhead. And from that point, I realized that's how the retreats came to be, really, is like, what if I could just show people the way I grew up and how I learned to trust myself and intuition through being outside?
Wow. Like I said, like, everyone has a story that kind of helps shape who they are. And that was a beautiful little snapshot of your life. Were both your parents intuitive as well? Did they help bring that out in you?
More in the practical way. And I'm still very practical of like, well, that's great information. What am I supposed to do with it? Right. I really teach people like intuition is no good if you can't apply it. Right. And so they were the type who were like, okay, let's stop and really feel. They would say, let's stop and think about it. But what they meant, let's stop and feel. And they would kind of like stop and close their eyes. And to this day, my whole family is like that. So they were very practical. They were both business owners. And there was things I grew up with that I was like, oh yeah, most people's parents don't do that, right? Like there was always extra food. We always had people on the couch. The doors were never locked. My parents were just, they knew, they had tapped into that abundance that there's always more available. And no matter how much I have, I always have space to give. And it was cool to grow up like that because I didn't learn about a lot of the hard things in life until like high school, right? When we're blending with different people of like, oh, it's not rosy for everyone. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that your program, or you're called the modern shaman. For people who don't really even understand this, like what exactly, we think we know what shaman means, but what does shaman mean to you?
So to me, I really struggled when I came out with this business. I was a publisher before. My family was in retail, and I always had this side business of reading cards. And I went by medium for a very long time, or clairvoyant. But then I was like, but I do more. My sense is that I'm always walking into the spiritual realm. Excuse me. First of all, let me start with the basics that everything is sacred, everything is beautiful. And that's part of my heritage. And I don't talk to a lot because I don't want anyone to ever get the idea that I speak for all tribal people or that I speak for even my own family, because I do not, trust me. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to take some of those principles and make them very universal. And to me, shaman was the best word that I could get in a contemporary sense of walking in a sacred way on this beautiful earth, right here, right now. Because we're human beings who have an economy, right? And I love to bring in, that's why I love teaching manifestation from a very practical standpoint, is when you blend heaven and earth, and that's really walking between realms, That's when your life becomes magical here. You don't have to escape or just meditate your butt off and be a person that's always spaced out, right? Like, I get a lot of that heavenly energy we want to pull into our earthly life, and then the grounded energy for those of us who like to be really floaty. And when we combine it here, that's what the whole brand was about, is like, how do we do this modern life? How do you bring spirituality into the workplace, into sports, into your fitness, into your eating? That's what we crave these days. Mm-hmm. Meaning, belonging, right? A sense of purpose, a sense of service without sacrifice, right? How do we do this? So I love helping people who are spiritual or curious about spirituality. I had a beautiful Christian upbringing, church upbringing. I was Episcopalian. And I run into a lot of people who didn't have that, but had a sense of faith and are always looking for that sense of relationship to the greater what is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful. And I love the fact that, and you know, I grew up as a Christian too, and I still am a Christian, but knowing that there is, you know, everything created is beautiful. Energy is good. And a lot of people get that mixed up because they don't understand energy and they don't understand how we attract things and manifest. They think that might be twisted or wicked. And then other people think it's great. But what I love is, and my kind of goal and mission is to let people know, guys, we're all connected. It's a beautiful gift we were given. And so many of us don't tap into it because we're afraid of what it means. It's all good, you know, as long as the right intention and the heart is behind it. So I think intentionality and gratitude are so important. What do you first teach people when they come to you? What is the first thing you want them to know?
I think the first thing is really that everything is sacred. How would it change the way you look at the world if that's the way that it was, and that you were, like we say in a church, you know, you were created in the image of God, but what if, like, everything is created in the image of the Creator, right? So I don't always like to tap into any kind of victim blaming with it, you know, it's all happening for you sometimes, because that can feel really harsh. How do you apply that in modern ethics? So I have a background in degrees in Native studies and in traditional ecological knowledge and in environmental philosophy. So for me, it's always like, how do we apply ancient practices to modern problem solving? So your spirituality should be coming from a place that gives you fluid action in life. So when we look at it as the first place to start is that knowing that you are sacred, right? And how we treat ourselves and our, if you stop for a minute and think about really what it means if you think you're this child of the most holy, right? Child of God, we can say in the Christian church, or a child of the creator. But think about, I mean, even if people don't do something huge in this life, like everybody is special. Everybody is unique. You don't have to go change the world to be incredibly valuable. You just are. You get to start living that, right? And how does that change how you do everything? How you treat your body, how you talk to yourself, what you feel like you deserve in an income or housing or career? Do you suffer through every day? You know, and I think that goes right in the face where you said about like anything woo, anything psychic, medium. Like I see those words and I kind of play around with like messing around with people of psychic, medium, intuitive. They all feel very different, but we're talking about the same thing. And some of that's really bad marketing, I think, in the past, because when you say psychic, Miss Cleo, I get that a lot from my friends. Like one of my friends was like, okay, whatever, Miss Cleo. I'm like, but she had a gift. She was a bad, like there's some marketing issues there, right? There's for sure. Yeah. But there's so much darkness painted around spirituality out of fear. And that was in all religions, mm-hmm. even traditional cosmology has a lot of explaining the fear. Right. And that's what we do as human beings. But when you really anchor into love created the universe, love creates humans.
I mean, how can we even believe that we're here in these amazing bodies, being able to experience this, have a spiritual and physical experience, and not think we're worthy? We wouldn't be here if we weren't. So I think there's so many people that get stuck in this shame, blame, I don't deserve it. I haven't been good enough. Do you help people kind of see their divinity, how divine they are?
Yeah. And part of that is we have to realize when we're really hard on ourselves of like, man, I beat myself up, because I know I was that person. I would like beat myself up. Right. And it just stacks on that shame. It's like, why can't you be more? Is that we want to see our divinity, but it's really conditioning a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Honestly, from the day we're born, people are saying, you smile, you're rewarded, mm-hmm. right? You cry, please stop crying. Please, either you're making me uncomfortable or you're bad, right? Like we're being trained from the moment we're here by all levels of experience and emotional intellect, right? Some of us get parents who are, you know, they're all over the place. Parenting and relationships, there's no guides. I mean, we're all doing the best that we can. I turned out, I think, pretty great for parents who from the free range spanking era, right? Like, and then there's lots of kids that, you know, like we're all a work in progress. So we embody that as adults. And then when we start to go for what we really want, and I get a lot of people in their 40s and 50s, to be honest, that are like, I've been successful. I have arrived. I've financially done it. I've raised the kids and there's something more for me now. I want to serve. Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel like, who am I? That's where the worthiness comes in. Who am I to think I could do this for people? But yet you're called, and usually for really beautiful things. I definitely do not get people that are like, you know, it's 50. I need a castle and a Ferrari. It's more like, I want to start a ministry. I want to start a nonprofit. I want to help sexual assault victims. I want to work in prisons. Like I get a people who have like really beautiful ambitions, and it's taking some of that out. Yeah. It's rewiring beliefs through EFT, through energy clearings, through journaling, like kind of got to go right tool for the right energy block.
Right. So definitely meeting people where they are and what level they are. And so tell me about some of your, I know you have a program. I know you have a soul path retreat. So tell me some things that are coming up for you that maybe some of our audience would be interested in.
Sure. So The retreats are very special. The retreats are, I had a really big month in business, and I felt like I had, there's the thing, when you hit a big goal and you sit there and like, now what? It's like throwing the party. Like, it's like throwing a wedding and you're like, it's over. Now what? Right? So I was sitting, so I took myself on a surprise vacation, literally like bought the ticket and went, right?
Wow.
And sitting on my lawn chair in Maui thinking, I wish I could just show all my clients how amazing this is. How being in a place can shape who you are and all the things that I do when I feel out of sorts, right? So I was like, okay, so I go swimming at a certain place. I go find the turtles. I go to the certain point and meditate. I go to this old ancestral grove that I've been going to since I was a little girl. So I have a couple of those that I do. So people can have the training your intuition through a live scenario, which it's very safe. And it was a little bit from Newt Blackson's idea of taking people to India and then stripping them of all their worldly goods. And then he like, you're just going to learn to trust by experience. This is like this only, you know, more luxurious with better food. And so there's May 16th to 20th in Maui. We go to sacred site that I knew as a kid. And this one is, they're all intuition and manifestation, but it's using particular island energy. And so Maui's got a more easygoing, it's focused on relationships. So all relationships come from ourselves. So we go and we go to two different ancestral groves and practice some reading and what's here and feeling really safe with, like, have you ever walked into those places where you're like, what's this energy here? I don't know what this is, but I feel like there's a lot, like old churches in Europe, there's New Orleans, it's everywhere.
Right.
Every place, Sedona has a different type of vortex, Maui has a vortex. Then we're doing the Big Island is September 7th to 10th. Now, Big Island of Hawaii is totally different. It's a very root chakra, change your life, like redo your foundational energy. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing a ray dive. We'll be going up to a sacred grove of bamboo, a waterfall hike. And this is like learning to do readings. I teach like a little bit of class time. All right. Like, this is how you would do a reading on yourself, like accurate, fast framework. I've made it very logical because I'm a little OCD of like, how do I explain what I do? Because intuition, most people is just download. And then they're like, but it feels like inspiration, how we think of inspiration. It's like, I got this message, but what it's useful when you know how to do it on demand. That's when it's a life skill for like, is this a good way? How do you know if a decision is right for you? That's the biggest thing that I, it's like, how do you trust that you are making the best decision for you right now? Right. So we do those. Yeah. Live on island in the water, you know, like doing a meditation on water while you're standing in the water of like, can you feel that other island over there? And they're like, we can. They practice like people with no experience practice because we have it.
Yes.
Sending each other colors, shapes, and images, which they all got by the end of the week, learning to do perfect readings, clearing stuff. Some of them like chose to jump off rocks and swim back to shore. Like that was outside of their comfort zones. You know, like the girl who's my apprentice is amazing woman. She's not a girl. You know, at that point I knew she was ready because there was something where she just took over leadership of the retreat when she needed to, so I could go handle something. And it was like, that's the kind of experiences I want for people. And then we'll be doing Paris as well for the Europeans in, looks like, late October.
What about mindset? I mean, because when people think of mindset, they think of, okay, I'm just going to flip the switch. I'm going to have a better attitude. I'm going to change my mindset. And I don't necessarily think, I think mindset's important, but I don't really think it's almost that it's that immediate, or that it's kind of like when people use, what am I trying to think of? When they use affirmations. Affirmations are great, but if there's not feeling, which is the energy or thought behind it, they're kind of empty. So what is your take on intuition, mindset, all of that?
So I believe we create from the inside out. And the way that I explain it to people is what we think of like aura, right? You don't want people to stand too close to you. Like there's a realm. If they're super close, they could be on. If you don't like them, 10 feet is great. That's your actual energy field. So this field is a filter that all of our creations, our broadcast tower goes out and in. So if you're just broadcasting, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it works, it works, it works, it works. And then 80% of your body is like, not ever happening. It's not happening because she doesn't believe in herself because that guy dumped her in third grade. Cringy, right? And we feel, that's what we feel as people. So then it's harder to pull off, not to mention there's no match in the universe. So if we just, that's why a lot of mindset work takes a long time to sink into the bones, because if you don't remove the energy, like really put it in its place, because I see in people a lot of time energetic trauma. So if you're in a car crash, there's PTSD comes from this place, trauma, like from dissociation. Your body just overloaded. It can't process traumatic gunfire, sexual assault, car crashes, something, you know, being attacked, you know, those kind of things where you freeze, your energy freezes. We build actual blocks because it's like the computer creates a corrupted file, just like your laptop, puts it over there and it's trying to start. So every time you're trying to create, it's also being like, I'm 97% in on this, but I've got 3% of trauma and it's going to throw a wrench into it. So our house is going to take an extra 12 weeks to close, right? Because I don't deserve happiness and I don't know if it's safe. It's the weird energy like that that messes people up. So I do energy clearings, the emotional clearings. I consider them somewhat different because sometimes our emotions, hormonal medications, and emotions aren't bad. They're just adding kerosene to that energetic field you already have.
Right. And it's that resistance is that wrench. And if you can clear that, then things will flow better, I guess. But so often speaking of a wrench, sometimes life throws a wrench into your life and creates and really makes you go a different direction. Did anything happen in your life that, you know, kind of changed your path or why you're on the path you are now?
A couple, I guess most recently, boy, my life has been, it reminds me of a pool game, you know, like billiards, right? Where it's like, oh, off in that direction. And all of it's been amazing, right? Like I was perfectly happy until I was not in every part of my life. I was going to be still working on a doctorate now, but I was going to be an academic forever. I was just going to be a writer and not just be a writer, but be an author, hang out in university. I wanted to hide out from the world. And then my brother was paralyzed and I ended up going into retail and traveling 28 weeks a year. Then my dad died. And then I ended up taking on two jobs. So I'm running the publishing company, my mom's company, my dad's company. And at some point then again, that blew up. And I was like, you know, like I use those kind of events to be like, this is a fresh, brand new opportunity. And I've lived a lot of life. And when you embrace those things that go kind of insane, so I left my publishing company in 2017, decided I was going to go online and just be a book publisher. I was always underselling myself. And then COVID 2020 happened and all of our business that we had worked for 8 months went goodbye. It was book marketing at book conferences. We had just signed a big client. We were really excited about it. And I had a business partner at the time and it just looked really positioned, but it also was something that I was relying on my old life, right? I was just translating because I come from a third generation publishing family with lots of awards. And I was like, I'm really good at this. But when COVID hit and everything went away, I was like, well, I can either like move in with my mom. You know, everything was shut down. I live in Oregon and we really had nothing open, nothing. Like you drive down the street and there was nothing open. And it seems a long ways, but right now it's like, people are lost. I'll just offer readings. And that's how I told everybody that I had been doing like readings for horse people because I worked in the horse industry. Oh. So I was doing horses and animal communication and had never really told anyone other than referrals. So I had this side business that took off and here we are. It took off really fast. It was because I have no resistance to it anymore.
That's awesome. And when you can finally get to that place, and that's what you help people do. I also believe that self-care and self-love really is the beginning, the cornerstone of creating that authentic life and making your biggest impact. Is that something you think most people struggle with that come to you?
Yeah, you know what, I just heard something yesterday about self-care and I thought we should be aware of how much we have to push self-care because we live in a society that doesn't reward it. We reward struggle, suffering, hustling, and all of this, like that has nothing to do with whether or not you have integrity in what you're doing, right? You can bust your hump at something you don't love and still be successful, right? Like I like to break down all those social ideas because drive will get you there. But self-care, taking time for ourselves, I'll be honest, a lot of people who have high intuition and because they're very aware of what the real energy of situations is, a high history of codependency, abuse. And so for them, stable and starting to really care for themselves feels very selfish. And it takes a little bit to like, what self-care looks like for everybody is so different too, right? It's whatever makes you feel peaceful.
Right. Well, I'm so glad that we're finally getting to a place where self-care isn't selfish. It's actually maybe the most selfless thing you can do, because if you are taking care of the body and the soul, spirit that you were given as a gift and fill yourself up, then you're serving out of the overflow. You're not that resentment, anger, everything else that often as moms we're like, oh, I'm doing everything for everyone else. I just need a break. And then you have your break and you feel guilty about it. So it's such a huge, massive transformation when you can go, no, this is good for everyone when I take care of myself.
Oh yeah. Especially for a mom. Like I don't have kids, but I have been the caregiver for my family all the time. I took care of my dad when he died. I took care of my brother when he got injured. I take care of my mom and my brother now. But I do it in a very different way than I did in the beginning. Is that it's like, oh, okay. Well, for one, there's so much social convention around how we're supposed to act, right? Like we reward our mothers for Mother's Day. One day we're like, oh yeah, yeah, here's your spot. Holy cow, I'm just raising children here, just the whole new generation of the planet. You know, I think kids should be throwing flowers the whole time, but that's not how it goes, we know. And we're really, I think we're coming to a great new place, especially as we have more stay-at-home dads. That whole mom shaming thing just sounds, it's so great when we can turn it around of like, well, you shouldn't take, when was the last time anyone told a guy, you know, don't take time for your man cave? Never, right? It's very aimed towards women.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, tell me, how do people, if someone's interested in your retreats or clearings or intuition, all the stuff that you have going on, how do people best find you?
So my website is daniellefournier.com. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, the handle is @modernshaman. Facebook, it's just my name. It's under the Danielle Fournier, because there is a Canadian poet who writes some really cool stuff. we've been warring over our domains for years, you know, because I publish under my middle initial and she does not. And so if you're like, why is she blonde? That's not her. That's a great way to get a hold of me. I also have a YouTube channel, but kind of hard to get away from on social media.
Well, I'll tell everybody, you know, all of Danielle's information will be in the show notes, so you'll be able to get in touch with her if you have any questions. And she's just a great person to know. I just wanted to ask you a couple more questions. If you could share with our audience any advice, or maybe, you know, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned in life, or or something that you have really taken away that you want to share with our audience?
You know, don't ever give up. That's number one. And tap into that feeling that makes you feel good. Follow that. Follow the things that make you happy. And then the path unfolds, right?
That's beautiful. Even
10 minutes a day, just start. The things that feel good are the right things for you, even if everyone else tells you.
I think that's beautiful, because so often we're told that our feelings don't matter. And honestly, they're the gift that unlocks it all. If we know how to look and decipher our feelings and see the signs and what it's telling us. So, well, what's on the horizon for you? Or do you have anything new coming up that you want to share with anybody?
I have a couple of exciting things. So the SoulPath intuitive training is ongoing, right? That's always something. So I'm always excited about it because we're always expanding that. The retreat in Maui is coming up fairly soon. I have a spiritual business academy for people who are spiritually based, who want a logical approach to doing business that just happens in 30 days. That starts now. And I'm really excited in the next couple of weeks, because it's a short course in business in a box, how to do it and remain like intact to your soul with what you really want to do. I'm really excited about that. And then my nonprofit, The Ocean Love Project, will be filming a full hour documentary in September. So that's a big thing that I'm personally very excited about. Like I say, that my connection to land has always been deep. And I feel like this is my opportunity to give back to a place that I love, the Pacific Ocean, so, so much. That's what's happening for me.
Wow, that's so powerful. And I guess your connection so much to nature and all that, and just being a creative. I don't know, you guys might not know this, but Danielle is an amazing artist. I don't know if you do that professionally, but I've seen your artwork and it's so beautiful.
I do. I just, this is the funny story, is that I never felt comfortable. I was so terrified of what people would say about my art. I did it under my middle name. So my Instagram is still under Lehua. So, So most people don't know, but I do. And it is, I paint endangered animals. And in fact, I won an award for my last reclaimed art, eco art piece about the white rhinos. And yeah, that's part of the shaman part too, is knowing that nature always has the answers. Animals aren't afraid of death, y'all. You know that? Like, we're the only ones having the existential crisis. The rest of them are out there just enjoying it. So there's so much for us to learn.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Danielle, I love to end each podcast with the same question for each guest. This podcast is the Honor It All podcast. So what are you choosing to honor today?
You know, right now I am back in a deep gratitude phase, and I feel like, during the pandemic, we've slipped a little bit out of gratitude to look around. Cause one of my clients said today, like, can you imagine, like, you just have to pinch yourself about how fast this happened. I was like, well, now that you say it, yeah. You know, a beautiful home. I mean, at one point I was kind of living in a car, right? So I have two cars now, but I'm happy. Like, the peace, you know, I'll knock on wood on for that. Wow. But honoring that things can really change when you put your whole heart into it, and you can come back from some really hard times, and being grateful for wherever you are, that's a good place to start.
Yeah. Wow. That's a mic drop for me. So. Wow, I appreciate it. What a perfect way to complete this episode of the Honor It All podcast with the gorgeous Danielle Fournier. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And until next time, guys, remember, we are not promised tomorrow. So be present today. It is a gift, and take time to honor it all.